All right, so it is 15 minutes past one. Mr. Robertson, would you please introduce the next item?
Thank you, Chair Wolf. We are going to move forward to the Executive Officer's Report. And that is item 11. It contains just two items, as I recall. That is the water quality certification tables for applications received and certs issued. And then we have an update on the stewardship group agreement for the
folks in the back. Thank you.
We have an update on the stewardship group agreement for provision of safe drinking water. And what you have before you is an update on that. Happy to answer any questions. Perry Clausen of the stewardship group, under the hat of cures, we'll say, Perry of many hats, is going to provide a 10-minute presentation updating us on the stewardship group.
Thank you, Chair Wolf, members of the board. I'm Perry Clausen, Executive Director of CURES, Coalition for Urban Rural Environmental Stewardship. We're the subcontractor working for the Salinas Basin Ag Stewardship Group. And I have a brief update to give you on phase two of the project that we've begun to work on. And I'm challenged by the button. Are we? Not working. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just have it do a minute. Okay, so just a real quick update on the membership stats. Not significantly changed since last time we were in front of you. 116 members, approximately 182,000 acres in Salinas Basin, the majority of the irrigated acres in the Salinas Valley. Go to three. And then the parties in the agreement, you know well, it's the Salinas Basin Ag Stewardship Group that was formed as to represent the growers, and the negotiations and the agreements or settlement agreements were between the State Water Board and, of course, your executive officer of the director, the Central Coast Regional Water Board. We are finished with phase one. The dates you see there were the dates outlined in the agreement. We've begun some initial work on phase two. I'll talk a little bit more about the details of that. There are still discussions going on some of the particulars of the settlement agreement, which I'm not going to go into today because I don't really work on that. We've got our chair of the group here in the audience. If there's specific questions, you can ask him, but I want to talk about what we're starting with the mapping that I described to you in our previous meeting. So phase one, which we reported to you earlier, we started with the state smalls, the 2 to 15 hookups. We are currently providing water to 25 of those systems. 9 of the ones identified are part of the membership group, so they were being provided water prior. And then we had 10 system operators that declined to receive water for various reasons, which they didn't care to elaborate other than we're not interested in participating. The original list had 58 wells on it. We had the Gamma wells removed from the list temporarily. We actually have had one applicant that was contacted apparently by either Regional Water Board or USGS and told about the program, and so far we've only had one that has applied. And you can see the gallons delivered, the individuals that are occupants of those 25 systems, they are listed on the slide. And so far, no complaints on water deliveries. Culligan has been doing a great job. And the other vendor, Damn Good Water, out of Hollister, is the other provider. And so far, everything has been going well with that. So phase two is a plan that CURES put together in conjunction with the grower group on what it is that we were going to be doing. I was handed, or we developed and were handed our performance goals for developing this program and implementing this program. Based on GIS mapping, we are creating layers, combining layers of the water systems that I'm going to show you here in a minute, water systems, public water systems, and otherwise that are in the area that don't need water, and then we have then highlighted the wells that may possibly need replacement water if they have high nitrates. So what we're charged with doing after we identify these wells is estimate the number of potential recipients. We're working on that, develop a budget as to what we think the water, replacement water, or possibly other alternative methods down the road might need if for the systems that are above the MCL. And then we're going to be establishing current and future funding sources to cover the budget costs. Of course, SBASG is covering the cost for this year. Hopefully there's going to be grants in development that are in play right now in the state that will eventually help in some of the long-term solutions. Right now, though, we're covered. Our cost is covered through the Salinas Group. And then we'll initiate water delivery to the qualified recipients, both the current systems from phase one and then the new ones that come that are identified. And then we're in the process now also of developing an outreach program, working with state and regional board, and also contacting some nonprofit groups that can help maximize the number of contacts that we will make over the next few months. All of this latter part is still in negotiation with the regional board and the state board. My marching orders are the first top half of these activities, and that's what I want to talk about today, and that's related to GIS mapping. So what we did is MLJ, our contracting group out of Davis, went to all the public sources of information about water systems in the state of California and Monterey County, and you see listed there all the sources of data that we use to create these maps, starting with the DWR groundwater basin for Salinas. We got the Monterey County Health local primary water agency systems, public water systems, and then also from your staff, the Irrigated Land Regulatory Program, all the wells that have been sampled, domestic wells that have been sampled since phase 3.0 was put in place. Then we also put the wells the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition have identified that are on irrigated lands parcels. All of those former two, of course, have had drinking water supplied. And then the well systems that we identified in phase one of this program. More recently, we've gotten a layer from Monterey County, County Tax Assessor's Office, so that we are able to identify when we find a single well, who owns that particular property, and then to get their mailing addresses. So I'm gonna just kind of walk through the layers. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on these, but this is, of course, the basin that you see outlined in yellow. And then these are the local primary water agency systems and then the state small water systems from Monterey County Health. You'll see highlighted in blue. The next slide then is the public water systems, which encompass cities, incorporated areas throughout the basin, again, highlighted in blue. And the dates you can see on the far left of what the data, the layer was dated as. And then these are all the irrigated lands wells that have been sampled, domestic wells that have been sampled, plotted out as you see. And then the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition maps the wells. You can see on the next slide. Those are the wells that we have in our database that were also indicated on the wells. Okay, the next slide. So as a way to organize the valley, to work our way from the north to the south, we laid out a two by three mile grid across the entire basin. And as you can see, they're not numbered here, but we numbered those, and we're sequentially going over, my staff is sequentially going over each grid to identify what are the potential candidates. So the next slide, you'll see how this looks. So this is eight grids close up, and what you can see indicated are those layers that I reviewed earlier. The hatched blue is a Soledad. You can see the dot in the middle. That city is Soledad. There's two water systems there. And then the upper left, another water system. And then the dots that you see indicated throughout are either the individual wells, irrigated lands, or the Central Coast Groundwater Coalition individual wells. So what we do, what my staff does, is they look at those areas and say they're covered. These areas are getting water from irrigated lands or they're in a public water system. So in the lower right left quadrant, you see number 97. Go to the next slide. So this is a blow-up of that Google Earth map layered with all these other layers that we talked about. On the lower far left corner, you see that yellow line that's curving. That's the end of the groundwater basin that's designated that we're in, we're covering. So what we do is systematically go from the top of this map all the way down, and then go to the next slide, and we insert Google pins. So when those pins are put into the map by my staff, when they see that it's a house that's not covered by the blue, and this map that you see here, this is just south of Highway 156. So on your left is Castroville, and on the right is the 101 corridor, 156. So there's a lot of more houses there, less ag. So what we do then is we take these pins, and the GIS manager will overlay the county ag commissioner, the county tax assessor parcels, and come up with an address for that pin. And if you go to the next slide, this is what those close-up with those rural residences would look like. You see ag on the left, and then you see these individual pins and the addresses that we would come up with.
What you're telling us is that those pins are a feature of you using aerial views.
Yes.
To see where residences are located.
Correct.
That's how that's being done.
Yes. So my staff is physically going over when they see that there's not a color on it or it's not in a thatched area. That is a potential recipient.
Okay.
And I've got one more slide here before we get. So then we get this list of the APNs, cross compare to the map you see on the top with the pins, and come up with our candidate well list. So we are going to systematically, picturing that grid map, we're going to move from the top all the way to the bottom and create a candidate well list, which will then go, and if you go to the next slide, which will then be part of a similar outreach that we did in phase one. We get their address, we mail them a letter, an application, we follow up calls if they don't return an application. Once we receive an application, we send a crew out, have a sample taken, it goes to Monterey Bay Analytical. If it's positive, if it's above drinking water standard, they get set up with Culligan water. If it's not, we send them the result and say, you're fine. Water quality's good. And then, that's pretty much the process. We're going to be working as we go through with this, with developing a more refined outreach. If we find that we're getting poor response after a few months, then we'll figure out plan B is to another way to reach out to these individual residences. So that's pretty much the presentation.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you, Perry. Just a couple of quick questions. So, you identify a house are you mailing to the address of the house or to the address of the owner or both? Because the tax roll would show both.
Yeah, the tax rolls show both. We're sending it to the residents.
Okay. And and I'm assuming even if the house is not on irrigated land per se, are you sending it to them?
Especially the houses that aren't on irrigated land. The ones that are on irrigated land should be covered.
Right.
If they're, because the irrigated land is, as you saw that first, second slide, 90% of the land is in this group. So they're to be in this group, they have to be providing water to that residence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Any question on my right?
Yeah, language of outreach and language of letters, do you have?
Well, we're using, as of now, until Angela has a version, or we're going to be meeting with them to look at the application that we used last year and seeing if there's need to be revised. It's very simple, one page, two page with some of the description. Very simple, name, address, preferred language, things like that. And then we let them know that Culligan would be contacting them if the well is above the drinking water standard.
Right, but the initial outreach is in English, is that correct?
We have it both. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we'll have it both in English and Spanish.
All right, so thank you, Perry.
You're welcome.
So that's all we have, unless you have speaker cards for the EO report.
I don't, but since we took this item out of sequence, and if anyone wanted to have 3 minutes for this particular item, to question or comment, go ahead, and counsel.
So I don't know that we made this statement in the beginning, and just for anyone who has come after lunch, there are speaker cards in the back of the room, and we do need you to fill out a speaker card if you're planning on speaking on any item, including public forum. So when you have a speaker card, if you could fill it out and give it to Tammy, that would be appreciated.